Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 4th, 2018, only 2 days before Election Day. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. And we're also joined by author and educator Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Good to have you. And I apologize to people who listen to the show. We've been kind of back and forth lately, mostly because of my travel schedule. We are trying to crank out episodes on a regular basis, so please don't abandon us. You can listen most recently to a lovely interview. Mariah, who were you? Who did you talk to? Plug your show. A little shameless show for the... A shameless plug for the show that Mariah recorded and produced all by herself. Tell me, what's
in
it?
That's right. That was an interview with Jenny Kendler, who is basically does climate work, climate action through her art. And it is just her art projects have been really magnificent and eye-opening. And so we talked to about one of her recent projects, which is at the Storm King Art Center out in the Hudson River Valley, a 500-acre outdoor sculpture garden. And she had a... beautiful sculpture with eyes, bird's eyes in it. I talked about that in the show. It's really great.
Well, there you go. So you can catch that at, we'll tell you where it's at Podbean and Stitcher and all those places that we mentioned at the end of the show. So, DR, as you know, we are rapidly on the glide path into Election Day, which is November 6th, 2018. If you have not voted, please make a plan to vote. Decide what time you're going to vote, what shirt you're going to wear, what route you're going to take to the poll, all those things. You're going to please plan to vote. It's incredibly important that all climate hawks vote this November 6th, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, DR, across the country, there are a variety of ballot measures, despite the ongoing malfeasance and debacle in Washington around climate. At the state level, there are ballots, measures that have been proposed and discussed, and they will be voted on November 6th. And so I thought it would take a moment to walk our way through some of those and see what the implications are, right? So,
absolutely.
Dia, why don't you tell me about the first, and of course, we're referring to an article that came out of the New York Times last week, talking about five different ballot measures. But tell me, Dia, the Washington State carbon tax is probably the most interesting one, right? Tell me the story there.
Yes, it is the Initiative 1631, which is perhaps the most significant carbon pricing battle in the country. If, according to Inside Climate News, if the carbon fee, as they're calling it, they're not calling it a tax, if it's implemented, it would be, quote, charged to large carbon emitters and fossil fuel sellers based on the carbon content of the fuels sold or used in the state. And the money that's raised will be used to invest in clean energy efforts. It's a revenue positive bill. Obviously, this comes 2 years after a revenue neutral carbon tax was defeated by a significant margin in a ballot initiative effort in Washington State, and it has become a critical focus for climate hawks and opponents of climate action, as Inside Climate News and others have noted. Bill Gates and Michael Bloomberg have both donated $1 million to the effort to pass the initiative, but the fossil fuel industry has raised about $29 million in the attempt to kill the bill outright. And against that sort of onslaught of money, you can only hope that citizen action and that citizens can basically, you know, decide to take an impartial view of things as opposed to, you know, $29 million worth of propaganda, basically.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the power of money will be well displayed there. I mean, I think the stakes are reasonably high, right? Because if Washington State passes this carbon tax, it will be a model for the, you know, it's the first of, it'll be the model for the nation. And if it fails, it will be pointed to as an example of how we can never actually have a carbon tax, right? And so, as you say, with all that money floating in, If anyone's listening to the show that has $29 million to spare, please send it out to the state of Washington to support this carbon tax measure.
Did anybody win Powerball or Mass Millions weekend, Mega Millions recently?
Yeah.
I mean, so what happens? There was at some point there was something going on, some sort of a bill, I think, that the Exxons and BPs were actually in support of because there was a clause that protected them from lawsuits. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, that's the proposed federal legislation that the Climate Leadership Council, I believe it's called, that former Secretaries of State James Baker and George Shultz were supporting. And you're right that BP and ExxonMobil, among others, have been in support of that legislation, which I don't think has been introduced. I think Representative Carlos Curbelo of Florida introduced an alternative legislation. But interestingly enough, BP, you know, despite professing support for a carbon tax, BP is said to be one of the big oil coalition against Initiative 1631 because they basically say it's quote unquote poorly designed. It's like in theory they're for a carbon price, but in reality any sort of actual carbon price is poorly designed and therefore not meritorious of their support.
So it kind of comes down to the reason that maybe it's poorly designed is because it doesn't let them off the hook, right?
Exactly.
That's what we're seeing here, because here's exactly that same thing, just without the loophole for them to not be held accountable for prior actions.
But you used an interesting word there, dear, about the design of the carbon tax. I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that the tax that's currently on the ballot, as you just said, DR, is going to be revenue positive, so that the money that comes in from the tax will be redirected by the state to green energy, you know, building windmills, putting solar panels in places, right? And that is a different design of a tax from the one that failed, which was revenue neutral, in which all of the money raised was sent back dollar for dollar to people in the state, right?
And that was the point of the controversy over that was ballot initiative 732, where Van Jones and Naomi among others, Van Jones and Naomi Klein argued that a revenue-neutral carbon pricing does not guarantee emissions. The only thing that guarantees emissions is to take the revenue raised by a carbon price and directly invest it towards clean energy.
Yeah, and I guess I think that Naomi Klein knows a lot more about everything than I do. But the concern I have is that if you have a revenue coming in that is directed at green energy, that money can eventually be redirected somewhere else and then become a target for cutting, right? Because in 20 years, you're going to need a carbon tax in 20 years, and if that money is not being well spent, then people are going to try and lower the tax. Whereas if you build in the neutrality part, which the revenue neutrality, which means all the money raised goes back to the citizens, they're getting money, then you've insured the lifetime of the carbon tax. It'll never go away, which is what seems to me is more important than the immediate intent of using the revenue to make green energy. I think reasonable people can disagree about that, but I mean, those are two very different conceptions, right? I mean, my concern is that carbon tax going to be in place 50 years from now, which is what we need.
And also the question is the tax going to, it's supposed to gradually increase from what I understand, but is it going to increase high enough to force changes in behavior and changes in consumption, which a lot of people have noted, a lot of climate hawks have noted, is ultimately what you have to do. You have to make it high. You have to make it high enough so that people feel real pain, so to speak, if they continue to, you know, embrace dirty forms of power.
And I think that's something that as climate hawks, we need to face, that the intent of a carbon tax is to inflict some financial pain for using fossil fuels. Right? I mean, that's the whole point of the tax. And so we could...
Although, to rephrase it, we could say that the intent of it is to inflict joy by using renewables.
That's a good point.
The other part of it.
This is true. I mean, it's to inflict joy by doing the right thing for the planet. But, I mean, what we're trying to do is disincentivize. And I think that if you don't admit that the price of fossil fuel is going to go up, you're open to the charge, you know, an unreasonable charge that comes later. But I don't know. I mean, we could probably have a debate here about the right kind of carbon tax, right?
Well, I mean, and I think that's what's been a challenge with the carbon taxes. You know, first of all, do we call it a tax or a fee?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, tax, of course, carries such negative connotations with it. And then, right, if it's revenue neutral, revenue positive. And a lot of, you know, I read an article in the New York Times that was talking about how conservatives generally support, or it was thought that conservatives would support something that was revenue neutral, where it went back to the people. But then with the one that you were talking about before, that the seven, what would you say was DR 730?
Initiative 732.
732, that conservatives didn't like that program because they wanted to see that money going somewhere specific and not just being a tax shift.
Right.
So, you know,
and also, Mariah, I think it was also a complaint about the unfair burden on more disadvantaged people by having to pay the same rate as the rich guy, right? So there was, I think, there was a little bit of opposition from both conservative and liberal groups. Is that true, DR?
I believe yeah. that was a point of contention.
Right. But yeah, I mean, to your point, Mariah, I think it was mostly the other side of the aisle, as you were saying, right?
Yeah, and that is something to be careful of, right? You know, trying to design a program that doesn't disadvantage people who are already disadvantaged is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why at the end of every show, we sign off by saying a fair and equitable carbon tax, right? I mean,
right.
However you design, so the design of these things is very important. And we will see how this this bill out in state of Washington fares. I think any carbon tax is better than no carbon tax. So mm-hmm. I certainly hope that this one passes. And if you are listening to the show and you're in the state of Washington, please get out there and vote for this thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and then too, as you guys were saying earlier, when you've got the Koch brothers funding these $29, $30 million campaigns, it's, you know, you were saying, I think, DR, you mentioned it'd be great if sort of the people, if this doesn't pass, and the people could kind of rise up and, you know, grassroots could help it, or if grassroots could help get it passed. But the problem is, if you have someone paying that much money, they're probably doing it in advertising, spending a lot of that money in advertising to sway people's viewpoints about things. And that's been the problem with this all along, is people who don't have all of the facts accurately see the ads and they say, oh, this is what I'm supposed to think about it. And it works.
Cost me. With $30 million, yeah. You can do a lot of psychological insights as to how to manage your message to scare the person most effectively, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I agree with you. It's going to be tough against that kind of money. But I guess the take-home lesson is that Climate Hawk should be prepared across the country for this influx of huge amounts of money. Right? And how do you manage to pass a ballot measure in the face of that? I would suggest that, I mean, I'm not sure the ballot measures are like the best way to go, because it is susceptible to this huge influx of money, right? Whereas what you really want is individual citizens lobbying their representatives, right? And that, again, reasonable people can disagree, but you see all this stuff play out, right?
To quote the acclaimed American political scientist Cyndi Lauper, money changes everything.
Well, to quote the acclaimed Broadway playwright Lin-Manuel Miranda in the Hamilton play, there's a line where Hamilton says, we were outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered, outplanned. Mm-hmm. And they figured it out, right? You know, they were creative, they were determined, they were disciplined, and, you know, they did it. So
you're saying the right thing, because, I mean, no matter how bleak things look, and things often look bleak now for Climate Hawks, we're not going anywhere. There's going to be a turn of events here, and eventually we will prevail, because we don't have any other option, right? Failure is
not
an option here.
It's not an option. And it's about, you know, creative solutions. It's about not giving up. It's about keeping hope. It's about, you know, using every tool in your toolbox.
Yep.
And, you know, that's how you, if you don't have the finances that are being dumped into it, you just have to be more creative.
And that's what Bill McKibben says, right? We only have the currency of our lives, right? That's the currency that we have to put back into this against the moneyed interests of the nefarious Koch brothers. All right. So look, let's put that one down. Carbon tax in Washington, God bless them. Let's hope it passes. There's another interesting deal, DR, that we should note. It's in the state of New Mexico, where it turns out there's this relatively minor election for a public official who is the Commissioner of Public Lands in New Mexico, which generally you would think is not that important, but it turns out that that person will set the fugitive methane rules for fracking on 9 million acres of land, which is the biggest area of fracking land in the country. Right, so that's going to set an example for the rest of the country. Right? Did I get that right, DR?
That's correct. There's a contentious fight, but for this position of New Mexico Land Commissioner, one candidate, Stephanie Garcia Richard, has vowed to crack down on leaks of methane emissions, and her opponent, Patrick Lyons, is basically making it clear that he has no interest in doing so. The New York Times notes that Mr. Lyons, quote, has the backing of the oil industry, including a $2 million contribution from Chevron, unquote. Yeah, how nice.
What a surprise. They're very generous, aren't they?
Now, Mr. Lyons' campaign manager, according to the story, swears up and down, you know, crosses his heart and hopes to die that he's going to rein in methane leaks. Sure.
Yeah. I got a bridge in Brooklyn. It's
like Trump denouncing white nationalism.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we've only got like 15 minutes in this podcast. You can't listen to my extended rant about that, but. We'll put that one down. The other couple things we should touch on is that in the states of Arizona and Nevada, not known for their liberal outlook on things, there are ballot measures to increase the renewable portfolio standards. Remember here we talked last summer about the bill in Massachusetts that would ramp up the renewable portfolio standard by 2% a year and essentially require the utilities to purchase increasing amounts of clean energy year on year. And so these two states are looking to go to 50% by 2030, which is that's respectable, right? I mean, I think right now that would put Massachusetts in competition with Massachusetts, right? And here, for all of our vaunted greenery, we are still only at 50% by 2030. So do you think that one's going to pass?
It will be interesting. Obviously, the utilities in Arizona and Nevada have basically made it clear that they are not fans of this, and that's why, you know, people power has to sort of, you know, push back against the scorn for clean energy on the part of the utilities, it's like they have to be dragged into the future.
When you think of the utility, I want you to think of the cab driver with his medallion and his little watch cap on, driving around New York City, as compared to the Uber driver, the woman who shows up with her nice shiny car and takes you to where you need to go, right?
It does raise the question: will voters in Nevada and Arizona decide to have a lift towards clean energy?
Yeah, there you go. With a why. And then the last one we'll just mention briefly is that in Colorado, there is a move to reduce the. To manage fracking better. It does not eliminate fracking, but it does put a lid on it, which again sets a message for the rest of the country. So we've got several interesting ballot measures out there. We're heading into the big day. If you're in any of those states listening to us, I hope that you are. Please send us a tweet and say that you heard us, but you need to get out and vote for these things. And for the rest of anyone else who's listening to this podcast in any state in of these wonderful 50 United States, on Tuesday, Mariah, I'm going to ask, what should people do on Tuesday other than have a nice breakfast and hug their kids? What do they need to do?
Get out and vote. We've got early voting here, and I've already done my civic duty, and I'm proud to have, you know, voted for candidates who support science and action on climate change.
That's right. I've already voted in early voting. All the cool kids are voting. You need to get out there. The advice that I've heard is to make a plan, decide when you're going to do it. Don't drift through the day and then realize you didn't do it. Decide you're going to do it in the morning, or you're going to do it after work, or you're going to do it whenever, but set a time. Go find a friend. Bring a friend along. I mean, all the obvious things. If you have time to go trick-or-treating. If you had time to go trick-or-treating on Halloween, you have time to go vote. This is an incredibly important election for reasons that we needn't go into. You probably have heard more than you want to know about them, but it's an important election. Right, DR? Do you think people should vote, DR?
Absolutely. I mean, just think about all the ghosts and goblins that are in power, and how they may remain in power if enlightened individuals don't turn around and vote.
So, DR, let's close. I think there's this guy. His first name's Frederick. I can't. I mean, he's been getting very popular lately. What's his favorite word? What advice would he give us?
That power concedes nothing without demand.
Absolutely. Frederick Douglass. That's a famous line from Frederick Douglass. You can look him up on Twitter. And he's right, right? Without us getting up in the face of these elected officials by voting, we're going to be stuck with them. All right. So we're going to put that down. Let me tell you that you'll be able to check out some of the links for what we've got here at the blog. It's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find this on Facebook at /massclimateaction, and you can keep up with all the interesting events and commentary that the folks at Mass Climate Action put up. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, etc., all of those podcast directories. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, and because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to vote, I urge you to vote. We must insist that the reckless policies of the current misadministration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put, here's the catchword, here's the buzzword, a long-term and equitable price on carbon. Anyway, thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks. Get out and vote.
Mariah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, get out there and vote. I don't want to see any of you hanging around on Tuesday. You need to go vote, 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 vote. All right, bye-bye, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Very cool.